showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, joined by my daughter producer, Sam.
Hi.
She just brought me a thing of hot chocolate because I was bitching yesterday that I spent $4.04 on a bad hot chocolate. She paid $4. I get how many servings? Ten or a dozen?
Ten, and it's organic.
Oh, wow. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you got 10 packets.
Wonderful. Thank
it's
you.
A good source of calcium.
I love calcium. Thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network, for inviting us to be part of the network back in July. If you want to call and chime in, 612-313-0289. Thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, MyPillow, the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman, where you walk in, mention a BS show, get 5% off a used gun. We are joined today by business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. Huh?
Yeah,
got that
good,
right?
Hey,
good.
It only took him how many weeks?
No, one of his clients, Joe Kapp. It's been 47 years since... roughly 47 years since he led the Vikings to their first Super Bowl. We'll talk to Jeff or Joe in a few minutes, along with Jeff. Psychic Ruth Lorden will join us. And by the way, Jeff, tip of the cap to you, because we did take your advice there. As you had sent us to, ultimately, it was Hanover Wine and Spirits.
Yep.
They have over 800 craft beers.
Yeah, they are.
It's a great shop.
Yeah, for those of us that live out in the far reaches of the metro and Wright County, Hanover Wine and Spirits is probably the best source for craft beer that there is. And I'm not just saying
that because they're not sponsors either.
And I'm not just saying that because they're clients. But
oh, let's get them on the sponsor then.
But they pride themselves as to carrying as many local brands as they have.
No, it's a great store, and I was amazed. It's almost like when you walk into a place and you're like, wow, you look at all these, and to me, one of the keys to craft beer is the design of the beer can.
Yep.
And there's some great. Art on
yeah,
these
it's
beer
fun
cans.
Just walking through it just to see some of the artwork on the cans and the bottles.
No, you're absolutely right. And, well, Jeff, we've talked about it before. It's over 50 craft beer companies that you represent. Breweries.
Breweries and distilleries and wineries, things like that.
What's the number in the state of how many there are? Hundreds?
I'm guessing we've got to be pretty close to about 125, which, incidentally, was the number of breweries we had in the state prior to Prohibition, which was the peak.
Wow.
So we're close, if not over, the peak number of breweries that we've had in this state.
So the 800 they have, some of them have different types of beer, but most of them are from the upper Midwest, I'm guessing. You don't bring in craft beers from far, you know, California, or do you?
Yeah, like, you know, some of the brands that you see that are you know, craft beer, like Sierra Nevada, Lagunitas, those are, you know, those come from the West Coast. You have Odell's out of Colorado. You have Brooklyn Brewery out of Brooklyn, which is a great story. Steve Hindy, who was a war correspondent overseas, and they couldn't, of course, can't buy alcohol overseas where they're, you know, I think they're in Beirut or something,
yeah,
covering the war back in the 80s. So they bought the raw ingredients and learned how to make beer, came back here and started a brewery.
Wow. Now, how did you get involved in the whole craft beer?
Happened. I for a long time I've worked with a lot of startup businesses, and we had a brewery come to to my previous firm actually that needed some help and learned everything I ever wanted to know about brewery law, and, you know, said, well, how do we get more of these? Well, you know, start advertising, you know, go hit the streets. And so, you know, word of mouth and, you know, writing articles and talking about it and everything, and, you know, just meeting everybody that's involved with the industry, and it just kept growing, and eventually now everybody just says, call me. So I'm happy. It's an honor. It's a fun industry to be involved
in. It does sound like it's a fun one. And by the way, we got a full keg of, and it was Coors Light that I wound up getting.
What is the cheapest beer you have? And then they named, what do they name?
Keystone.
Like, and then he was like,
I said, 'cause I'm not going to drink it. What do I care? But the guy said, how's Keystone? I got the nod off on that. But I also found out to have, because I put in such a short time span, I didn't have many other options.
Gotcha.
Basically, Coors Light was my other option.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't able to order one of the craft beers, which probably would have been a lot costly. And I actually, beer was not the thing to order, because I got a half a keg, which is 8 gallons, of 1919 root beer.
Mm-hmm.
That thing went in no time because my 14-year-old son and three of his buddies and my 10-year-old, they were, what do you call that thing, Sam? The keg thing?
Keg stand?
Keg stand. They were doing keg stands with it.
They had a 10-year-old doing a keg stand.
on the 1919
good
root
start
beer.
Young.
But
young.
That 1919 root beer coming out of
it's
a keg
so
is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I should have gotten the full keg there. And we were filling up gallons of beer before we brought the empty keg back and, giving away two adults. Just because there was so much beer left over from it, but I'll go back there and I actually now you would know the best place to get one of these. I want to get a kegerator for the 1919 root beer.
You might want to talk to. I mean, they not only have their kegs and all their craft beer selection, they have a lot of home brewing supplies. So they might even know the source to get your kegerator too. Or you can probably
find
that line. But
Menards may have it in places like that.
When you bring up kegerator, that's a sore spot for me because when our firm switched offices 2 years ago, I made a big pitch that would be very consistent with our brand as a brewery
to
law
have
firm,
a kegerator.
To have a kegerator in the employee lounge, and apparently I was rejected of that idea. But.
Well, did you pitch it for beer or for root beer?
Our brand is beer.
But you start with the root beer, and then a week later you put in the craft beer.
They can see through me.
Well, that could be what happened. Now, I've noticed, by the way, and Jeff, I think you had seen some of the things I had posted. Mm-hmm. You cannot, in this day and age, you cannot post anything that is the least bit political, which without getting not only differing views, but angry and differing views. And I have one guy, I have to send something to him. If he's listening, stop filling my timeline he's posting a lot of, and I believe in God, but I don't want to have it loaded with proverbs.
Yeah.
Because this guy is as left as you can get, and everyone is Satan if they don't agree with him. So, but he needs to stop posting the stuff, and I don't have time to do it now, but I will. I'll certainly do something about it. But I'm just a stat. Well, here's what I had asked, and it was, to me, an innocent question. To my left-leaning friends, please explain why it is okay for President Obama to avoid calling the Florida governor after the Orlando terror attack. Too busy bashing Trump, or does he only call if it's a Democrat governor? I wish he would behave more like the commander-in-chief of every American, not just those who support his views and agenda. I had such hope when he was elected that has changed. Notice the play on the hope and change.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, a lot of people are all whipped up. And I freely admit I lean more right than left. However, I am not blind there's a number of things that I do believe that most right-leaning Republicans don't believe in. And I did vote for Wellstone twice because I will vote for someone if I truly believe they believe in their convictions, whether I agree with those convictions or not. And I never doubted that Wellstone truly believed what he said he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually why I don't agree with Bernie Sanders, but there's no doubt in my mind he believes what he says. And the proof of that is he did take his honeymoon in the Soviet Union.
That's true.
Which there's a guy who's committed to what he says.
This guy walks
the
walk. Yeah.
I actually, I don't think he could get things done or could have gotten things done were he to run for president, but at least I would know he was sincere about what he's saying. And I don't feel that way about our two presumptive nominees. But anyway, that what I'm getting at, I mean, and it's often vicious. No one has actually answered the question or the thing I threw out there.
Right.
It just turns into a left versus right.
That's how politics works in general, Bob. I mean, you put a question out there that you want an answer to, and usually you're met with ad hominem attacks and deviations off of answering the original question. And it's usually, if you ask a question, it'll be somehow how the opponent is the epitome of all evil in society, rather than ever answering the question. I mean, it's just, and I saw the post that you did, and I saw that, people were challenging you that, well, you didn't support Obama. That's not what you said. You said, anytime a new president is elected, regardless of whether you agree with them or not, you want them to succeed.
Of course I want them to succeed.
Because that means the country is succeeding.
The country and us, on a personal level, to succeed.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and this is in the social media era, it seems to be getting worse and worse, this strident tone that our politics has taken. And it probably dates back, I'd say, about 25 years or so, really. And everything just keeps snowballing and getting everybody has a forum now, and they're gonna say what they want to say, and you know,
some
screw you if you don't agree with me, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, and I honestly, and I mentioned this on KQ, and I pointed out to the one guy who was challenging it, and he seems like a nice guy. It's not that. I remember when President Obama, I think he won Iowa. I think that's when he really, you know, people started to really take notice. Mm-hmm. But even before that, I really liked it because I liked the things he was saying, and I liked what he. But I mean, there was after he got in, and I started seeing some of the things he wasn't doing that I was perturbed and I didn't agree with him. And this is a debate we're not going to have now, but I've had conversations with people who support Obamacare. I'm living it. Because I have to pay for my own health insurance, which went up 50% from, you know, 2015 to 2016, and it's because of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. I don't get subsidies. I don't even know. I might even qualify, but I don't apply for them.
Right.
But it's so there's a lot of flaws out there, and there's flaws on both sides. I mean, people like Paul Ryan would be the highest ranking elected official in the Republican Party. The guy is so incredibly smug and arrogant. And, you know, I don't understand what's driving him.
Well, the problem with Paul Ryan, and I probably lean more to the right than you do, than Bob, and I've been, you know, active at the Republican Party in my previous years. But I also am willing to I call myself a Dernberger Republican. I think I might be one of the last left. I worked for Dave Dernberger between college and law school. He's a good friend. So I don't look at anybody in office with rose-colored glasses. Paul Ryan's problem, if you ever look at Paul Ryan's resume, I think he spent 1 year not working in politics or government. He spent 1 year as a marketing representative for a family trucking company,
and that was it.
But he started working at a very young age, working for a congressman, as an aide, and then he ran. How do you? The question I always have is, you need to have some level of real world experience to be able to make decisions that affect people's lives, and if you get too isolated from everyday. Real world issues, I think you get a little bit of an ivory tower mentality, and you see things like, you know, some of the things that, you know, that he does is just sometimes it's head scratching. I mean, I support Trump, but I'm not endorsing him.
What is it exactly?
Okay.
So that gives you your out. There's such a sense of entitlement on his part.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is no one in either party that I can say in the hierarchy that I could say good for you. You know, because Trump, anything good he might say, he just muddles it with stupid comments.
Trump would be really well served. He should take a page out of the president's playbook and start using a teleprompter anytime he opens his mouth.
He did the other day,
anytime
and I think it served him well.
Anytime he uses a teleprompter and he has, it sounds a lot more coherent. You know, he is. To his credit, he's from what I've understanding, he's getting a lot more advisors on board that have, you know, experience, but he does have to start. He's got his pulse on some problems, but he's got to start articulating, you know, solutions for some of this stuff in a way that, I mean, I get it that he's not going to be a typical politician, but he's in that arena. He's going to have to speak the language a little bit.
Well, there was the several stories out last week or the other day that Hillary Clinton has 21 media consultants. He needs somebody to sit by him before he tweets and show it to him. Because some of his tweets are fine, but some of them, he has taken a lot of heat for the tweet from the other day where, you know, it was parsed to say he was congratulating himself. Well, that's not really what the tweet said. Mm-hmm. You know, he's saying, hey, I appreciate the congratulations, but I don't want congratulations. You know, I want strength and he talked about other things, but was completely lost and completely ignored by much of the media.
Because I think there's certainly a bias against him and what he is proposing on a number of different issues. And so, I mean, he's waking up to realize what pretty much every Republican presidential candidate since Ronald Reagan has realized, that the media is not your friend, and they are essentially the PR arm of the other side. So you have to overcome that and, you know, beat your opponent if you're going to be heard.
Well, and it wasn't a smart idea because I think he's banned the Washington Post or somebody from there. You know what? If you don't give them a chance to ask a question or just ignore them, you can't ban them.
Yeah, I did note though. I listened to his speech on Monday, where he brought up again about this temporary ban, And the media has said he wants to ban Muslims. I think the president even mentioned that yesterday. That, you know, wants to ban Muslims. If you listen to what he said, he's pivoted from initially back in February or March.
Yes.
That's what he did say. What he said on Monday was that we're going to have a temporary ban on immigration from countries that have a history of terrorism. That's what Jimmy Carter did with Iran in 1979 when he temporarily banned immigration, halted immigration from Iran. So this is not an extreme position that he articulated Monday. But everybody just goes back to the original statement that he made back in February or March and says he's bringing it up again. Well, no, he's not. He's talking about it in a much different way.
And it is. It's greatly unfair to him. But I mean, that has become the way of the media, and to be unfair to particularly to him.
Right.
You know, and you're right, they're going back to his original statement. Now, here's what I need both sides to answer. Now, the Republicans would jump on it, and they might be more agreeable, but the whole idea, what he wants to do, I mean, he wants to vet, I guess, is what he'd want to do, Muslims. Now, I understand every Muslim, it's ridiculous to suggest that they're all terrorists, because they're not.
Right.
However, what majority, and I can't answer this, some people say it's a high majority because if you're Muslim, you believe that you're against homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what I understand, one of the preachings of being a Muslim. So the question I have is, how do we justify when you're in America, you're an American, you are condemned or ostracized, rightfully so, if you speak out against homosexuals or LGBT, yet we are opening the doors wide open to bring in people who hate homosexuals or the homosexuals are LGBT
mm-hmm.
members. So how do you justify that we're saying, hey, come on in, we're going to give you free, you know, health care, we're going to give you welfare, we're going to give you whatever you want, and they hate certain segments, and they don't believe that many people, well, Muslims, and I don't know the number, that's why I'm throwing it out, they also don't think women should be equal.
Yeah.
So how do we justify that?
It's a tricky issue, and you know, this is one of those areas where I don't necessarily know if I mean, Hillary's gone to, you know, banning guns. Obama wants to, you know, curtail immigration from Muslim countries. I don't know that either of them have the right solution. Somehow. And maybe the president has the ability to do some outreach. I don't know. Maybe he can use his last few months to do something like this. It seems to me that where this has to be fought is within the American Muslim community in the mosques. They have to, you know, there's got to be folks that can say, hey, what's going on over here? There has to be some self-reporting and some education. You know, but if that's not going to happen, I don't know how. I think this is just going to be we're just going to be putting a Band-Aid on cancer. We're going to have more of these attacks.
Well, the woman who is married to this psycho terrorist, from every indication, every report, she knew what he was planning.
Yeah.
She didn't speak up, and she's going to wind up getting arrested. Now, I think you're an attorney. A good defense attorney will claim she feared for her life.
Yes.
That he would, he would have slaughtered her if she had spoken out.
It would be frowned upon in the culture and in the community to go against your husband. Yes.
I don't know that anything with her is going to stick. I happen to agree she should be arrested.
Yes.
You know, because she was complicit in this.
Absolutely.
However, I think, you know, the fight will be, there will be a fight about the thing that's interesting, if it's a jury trial and if it's in the, well, Fort Pierce in that Orlando area, what will the jury think? Because I think there's going to be a lot of people who are pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be an interesting trial. You know what, Sam, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, well, Jeff O'Brien is here, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And one of his clients is going to join us, a fellow by the name of Joe Capp, the first quarterback of the first, well, he was the first quarterback to take the Vikings to the Super Bowl. Fran Tarkin did it a few other times. How many Grey Cups did he win?
Oh boy, that's a good question for me.
Because there were several, right?
Yes.
And were they with Bud?
No, they were not with Bud.
They were against Bud.
I think at least one was against Bud. We'll have to ask him, but because he played for the BC Lions.
Oh, his whole career in Canada?
I think his entire career.
Okay, because Bud won like three or four Grey Cups, mm-hmm. which nobody – I mean, that's a number that – it's actually an impressive number.
Yeah, because part of the reason why Joe ended up here was Bud got to – you know, because Bud became – Joe and Bud came in the same season in 67, and I think it was right after Tarkenton had been traded to New York, and Bud got here and saw that the quarterbacks, I think, were Gary Quazzo, Ron Vander Kellen, and I forget who else, and he said, we got to get a quarterback. I know a guy up in Canada yeah. we played against. Let's go get Joe Capp.
And Finks was obviously agreeable to that. Jim Finks, who was the GM at the time.
Yeah.
It, it turned out fine. But, you know, a lot of people probably don't realize he was with this team for at least three seasons. He was not there the following season, though.
Correct. Yeah, he had a contract dispute after the Super Bowl and ended up playing one final season with the Patriots, and then he was out of football.
Well, Sam, you know, we'll take a quick break. And, we talked about this yesterday, too, about – and, well, Jeff, you're an attorney, and there's most of the time you don't need an attorney or a lawyer, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. And if you're in an accident and you're injured, you're going to need an attorney. You need to get in touch with Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, and that's the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one – you need to talk to Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. No out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Bradshaw & Bryant, they're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Are you looking to buy your first home? Or are you looking to buy your third home? The Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, with offices in Edina and Stillwater, is able to help you no matter what your situation, whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com. Or call 952-841-9300. That's 952-841-9300. And contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com, or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050, and that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Welcome back. I'll be talking to Joe Capp momentarily, joined by Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney. And Father's Day is coming up. You need to get on the horn, call MyPillow, or get online at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code THEBSSHOW. BS Show will send you a BS Show t-shirt. If you want a great pillow, I love the pillow. Official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. Help me with my sleep apnea. Great warranty. You can wash it. You can dry it. You can call 800-320-3501. 800-320-3501. Also mention the BS Show, and we'll get you that BS Show t-shirt. Just send us a little proof of purchase. All the details at thebsshow.net. And Sam is getting in touch with Joe now. And you had told me that he's a great trivia question because he's the only quarterback to have
played in a Rose Bowl, a Canada Grey Cup, and a Super Bowl.
Now, is he 2 for 3 on the wins? Did he win the Rose Bowl?
Think he won the Rose Bowl. He won the Grey Cup. I don't think he won the Rose Bowl. It was 1959. But I forget what the result was. Would have to.
Well, I'm going to try to take. Actually, what I'm curious about is
I know he was on. He's also played. He was a 2-sport star at Cal. I think they were the national champs in basketball.
He was a basketball player too.
Yes, he was.
What tall was he when he was?
He's 6'4". Yeah,
that's pretty good size. Now I'm taking a look because I want to see. I don't know how many Grey Cups he wound up winning. Let's see here. How many did he win? And obviously it was at California. That's where he played.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the Pop Warner Trophy, too.
Yep.
CFL All-Star Award. Doesn't tell me. We'll have to ask him. Is he with us, Sam? All right, turn him up. Thank you so much. We're joined by Joe Capp. Jeff O'Brien is with me. Joe, thanks for taking some time with us.
Well, it's a pleasure. I thought you forgot all about me.
No, we didn't. We definitely didn't do that. Now, Joe, we were trying to figure out. I was taking a look at one of your bios, and I don't have it here immediately. I know you're in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. Jeff was just saying you played in the Rose Bowl, the Grey Cup, and the Super Bowl. How many Grey Cups did you win up in Canada?
You know what? I forgot.
There's so many of them.
But you missed one. I played in the toilet bowl when I was.
That's pretty good.
Sometimes it's better to be funny than to throw a beautiful pass.
Yeah. Joe, how does it seem like it's been almost, I mean, I think it's 47 years since you led the Vikings to their first Super Bowl. Does it seem like it's been half a century almost?
47 years? I got Warachis that old. No, it's been a wonderful life, and family's very important, and when you're on a football team, you give a lot. You take a lot, but you give a lot. And I have an executive office out here in California that's like just full of people. People that I played with in Canada and played against. All the way to high school, and with my bit of memory loss that I've kind of going through here, it's good to have the reminders.
Yep.
Burt Reynolds called me the other day to try to replace him in a kind of like a fundraising event, and it was just a great. But I also take calls from not so famous people, you know,
like us,
like me, right, Joe?
You mentioned Burt Reynolds. How many movies did you do in your career? Do you recall? You did one. You did at least one with him, right?
Yep, Longest Yard.
Yeah, but you know, don't ask me to give you a number.
Okay,
I just
that's fair.
Not because I'm ashamed of it, but I just can't remember. We did a movie called "Climbing Angry Mountain" with Fess Parker.
Oh, the old Daniel Boone. Yep.
The life that I've led is, I guess I'm writing a book with my son,
yes,
JJ.
Yes, he is.
But I won't bet on it because we're still in action. We're not ready to tell the mortuary that come and pick up this overused tortilla taco here.
Well, Joe, you're only 78. You got a long time ahead of you here. Now, do you still stay in touch with some of your former teammates? Do you stay in touch with?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, every day. Every day somebody pops up, you know. And then I kind of beat myself here because some of the guys are so great and they're gone. You know, they're not here anymore.
Yeah. Now, Jim Marshall was a good friend of yours, wasn't he?
You know, don't tell me Jim's gone.
No. No, but he's a good friend of yours, right? Jim and you say Carl Eller?
No. All those guys. You know, one of the reasons for our success, I think we had success. We went to the
Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, didn't we?
Yeah, you did.
And if you look at the Roman numerals, you can at least read them, right? Super Bowl IV.
That's right.
Now they got LGPFR.
That's right. That's a great point.
But, you know, it's kind of melds who your teammates were.
Yep.
Who was that linebacker?
Lonnie Warwick.
He beat me up all the time. I mean, he just...
that's probably one of the most famous stories of the early Vikings is the scuffle that Joe and Lonnie Warwick had after a game. And what they were fighting about is they were each trying to take responsibility for losing the game. They played Green Bay, and they were going to sweep them for the first time. And Joe said, "I'm sorry, we lost the game." And Lonnie was like, "What do you mean? Defense gave up 30 points. We lost the game." "No, I did. No, we did." And to the point where they were at a after party for the team, and they start punching it out. And then they had to go. You had to go talk to. I think you told me you had to go talk to Bud the next day. Both of you had black eyes and walked in with sunglasses. And Bud was like, "What's this Hollywood thing you guys got going on?" And they had to drop the shades and fess up what had happened.
Yeah, but he, you know, we had a little scuffle out in the moonlight with the trees and the moon coming through the bottom, and the end result, you know, he had his Jack Daniels, and I had my Jose Cuervo tequila, but the key that it is sort of a draw because he had me by the throat. And I was down.
Yeah.
And but I had him by his balls, you know.
So he was down too. Joe, you, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I cut you off there. Well,
No. Hello?
Yeah, no,
yep, we're here.
All right, Joe, let me ask you this question.
No. That's the it's real life.
Yeah.
It's a real life. When you come together, 40 players, actually it's 80 players, and they cut it down to 40, and it's like going to war. And the people in the stands pay a lot of good money, and the players on the field usually, it's professional football. They usually do their part.
Yep.
And I love the game. It has a place for everybody. Basketball, for example, you got to be tall and totally athletic. Baseball, to hit that little tiny ball, I mean, I'm just always amazed as how somebody can hit that little baseball.
Yeah.
But football, there's a big old fat guy, there's a place for him in the middle. you always need speed, and every now and then you might get a quarterback that can throw a spiral. So.
Yeah.
There's room for everybody on the field that play football. And I don't know if that's true about other sports. Tell me, what's the weather like today?
It looked like rain. I don't know if we're going to get rain later today. It's not great. We've had better weather.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, but you don't worry about the rain in Minnesota. You worry about when the rain freezes.
Yeah, and you were here for plenty of that, days like that. Now, Joe, I wanted there's a YouTube video that has been seen by maybe millions of people with you and Angelo Mosca. Have you back in 2011? Have you run into him since that incident where he swung his cane at you?
Well, the first occasion that I met Mr. Mosca was in Canada.
Yep.
Before I came to the Vikings, and Angelo's a nice person. I mean, he's just lazy. he got a very bad reputation in Canada because he would cheat. He'd hold. He'd come off the ball and put his big old whale body on you. And that's Angelo Mosca.
But yeah.
when he tried to do it to me in the banquet, he was saying some very objectionable words about my mother. I couldn't let that go by. And so he tried to hit me with his microphone. No, his cane.
Cane, yep.
And a cane that would support his tub of bologna it was pretty heavy. so I missed that. And luckily, I got a shot with my right to the jaw, although it did. It did feel like it was the neck. It was so soft. And but what the camera did not get is he fell on his face, and it gave me the opportunity to kick him in the ass, you know? So, no, I guess every 10 or 15 years they'll bring that up
yeah.
again.
Well, it was interesting and entertaining to watch. Now, Joe, how I noticed that you're in a couple of years ago or last year, your grandson it was a tight end at Cal. Is he still with the Golden Bears, Frank?
Yes, he's at Cal, and he's still trying and fighting for a job. We're real proud of him. A lot of people in Minnesota got to know my son JJ, and he's out here. He's a lawyer, public defender, and he and I did a commercial. I forget what it was. A bank, I think.
Uh huh.
Just a minute. Northwestern Bank.
Okay.
Yeah. They ought to do it again with my grandson. So put a call in and say we want to see Joe, JJ, and Frankie in a commercial.
That's where Jeff comes in.
I'll take care of that. We'll work on that.
Well, and Joe, you know, it's great talking to you, and you sound great. How are you doing? Because I know in February is when you know, the San Jose Mercury News reported that you're dealing with Alzheimer's disease. You sound like you've got some pretty good recollections. How are you doing with it? Is it just you know, some things you just get to forget a few things, or I mean, you seem to be doing very well with it.
Well, I learned a long time ago, if you cry and the tears come, it might do you some good, but I try not to dwell on it. I really feel badly though for people with the arthritis,
yep,
and the bursitis and the tendonitis, all those nitis guys, I earned my pain and got paid for it. But there's people out there that are in terrible pain with these various diseases and older age, you know.
Yep.
I got a picture on the wall with one of my heroes. I went to high school with him. His name was Jim Langley. and he lost an arm. And I never once heard him say a complaint. And he actually lost an arm to disease.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people in Minnesota might know him because he was the golf pro at Cypress out here in California. All the rich guys, that's where they play golf. I go down to the municipal place and start hoeing weeds. Your show is a sports show?
Well, we do a little bit of everything, but we do talk sports, too, and that's why Jeff is on. Jeff O'Brien had mentioned that he knows you very well, and I was very excited when he said that you can come on with us, and it's just great hearing you. I love the story about Lonnie Warwick, but it's just great hearing you and talking with you, and I hope we can catch up again another time. So, Joe, I want to thank you for taking the time with us. Joe Capp, who, as long as there's a Minnesota Vikings, people will know your name and what you did for this franchise, because you're the one who put them in the Super Bowl for the first time and showed people how to win in Minnesota. So that's you're always going to be linked to the success of that those Purple People Eaters. You were one of the originals.
Well, I truly appreciate your kind words. But once again, you got to go back. We had a thing called 40 players playing for 60 minutes.
And that was you coined that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I'm good at coining.
The 40 for 60.
Paper money is better.
That's a good point. Well, Joe, thank you so much for taking the time. Joe Capp, I really appreciate it. And, Jeff, if you want to say something to Joe.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. I always say you're one of my all-time favorite human beings. So
we absolutely will. It's so great to talk to you. We'll talk to you just when we get closer to the football season, and we'll talk Vikings then. Thanks so much, Joe. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. That was fun.
Yeah, he is. I always say he's one of my all time favorite human beings. It is one of my the greatest thrills in life to hear him, is to sit with him and hear him tell stories. I mean that 69 Vikings team was such a great team. It was such a dominant team.
The story that you set up and then he finished about Lonnie Warwick, they were fighting because they were fighting over who should take the blame for the loss.
Yes.
That is a great story.
Yeah, and he tells a story that, there's a little bit more to it. It was back when they had multiple owners. One of them was having like a barbecue or something after, it was like a year-end party or something, and he didn't want to go. And what he told me is Marshall and Eller pretty much carried him out of his apartment, chair and all, into the car and brought him to the party. And that's when the scuffle ensued. But
at that party?
Yes, yes. But the thing about Joe is, you see today's quarterbacks being a lot more. You see more of a finesse type player. Joe, Carl was here a few weeks ago and said Joe thought like a defensive player. I mean, Joe was, a big guy and was all team first, all in, do what it takes to win. And I mean, the famous play in the championship game, because they were the NFL champions that year. That was back before the merger.
So they were the last NFL champion.
And there's a play towards the end of the game. They're playing Cleveland at Met Stadium. And he went to hurdle a linebacker, Jim Houston, from Cleveland. And he did, Joe, again, wasn't a finesse guy, right? Didn't quite make it, but he managed to put his knee right into Houston's helmet. Joe pops up, walks off the field. Jim Houston is laying unconscious on the field, face down on the field. He knocked out a linebacker in the NFL championship game.
Not a lot of quarterbacks do that.
Not a lot of quarterbacks do that.
No, I really appreciate you setting that up. You know what, Sam, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Joe, because I know you have some other stories, and we got to get to Ruth Lorden, too. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer. And we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS Show, a BS Show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the BSblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847, or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. We are back. Business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, who represents Joe Capp. You got to get right on that. He wants you to get him a deal for him, his son, and his grandson with Northwestern Bank to do something.
Which is now known as Wells Fargo.
Oh, is that what he meant?
Yeah, it's Northwestern. Was it Northwestern National? But whatever.
So how long ago was that he did this thing? Back when he was playing?
Yeah. There used to be a billboard for like a savings account that would be on Hennepin Avenue.
Yeah. Was J.J. a kid then?
Yeah.
Now, it was J.J. Will? Because there's a son named Will, too, right?
Yeah, Will is his youngest son.
Okay.
Who just actually, he's a teacher out in California, actually just a couple years ago graduated from Cal, had been a player.
He was a fullback there, right?
And a kick returner, I think,
okay.
too.
And but is Frank JJ's kid or
yes.
Will's? Okay.
Yes.
And Frank Capp plays, is a tight end. I think he's going to be a sophomore this coming season. And now for people that type in Joe Capp, K-A-P-P, if you don't know, and Angelo Mosca, M-O-S-C-A.
I think if you just type in Joe Capp, it'll come up.
It'll come up right away. Well, not right away. I think there is stuff that comes up. But
if you go on YouTube and type in Joe Capp,
it would come up.
First thing that comes up.
But, well, here, let me see what I'm typing in Joe Capp and Angelo M-O-S-C-A Mosca, and I know that video will come up right away.
And the part in that story that gets lost, again, we talk about a guy who was team first. The whole feud relates back to a late hit that Joe believes Mosca put on his running back, Willie Fleming, in like the 1963 Grey Cup.
Yeah, it was like 50 years later.
It's a fight about, I mean, that says everything about Joe Capp, is that he is, and even to this day, you know, it sticks in his craw about the Super Bowl loss. He does not like losing. And so, yeah, that whole fight was over something that happened at that time. I think it was like 50 years earlier.
Well, it happened in 2011, so it was almost 50 years later.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch, because the guy, this Mosca, swings his cane at Joe, and Joe did deck him.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy, whatever, he was 73 at the time, he's 78 now. You don't want to piss off Joe Capp.
No.
Because he's still put together.
Joe was such a free spirit on the football field. He told me a story just this past winter. The first year he was with the Vikings was 1967. So Vince Lombardi was still coaching the Packers. And this was at County Stadium in Milwaukee, which was set up like Met Stadium, which you had both teams on
same
one sideline. So they get to the Vikings get to about the 50-yard line, and he tells me that he had never met Vince Lombardi before, and he decided that he was going to meet Vince Lombardi. So Joe calls, I think, three or four successive audibles to a quarterback keeper sweep to the left side of the field, simply so he can keep the ball and run towards the Packers part of the sideline, and he can get a close-up on Lombardi.
And that's what he did.
That's what he did.
Did he say anything to him?
I don't think he said anything to him.
He just wanted to see him. Get a little closer to him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, after he left here, as you mentioned, he went to at the time it was the Boston Patriots still.
Yep.
He went there for a year, and then he became a coach at Cal.
In between there, he had a big, you talk about a guy, again, thinking of others first. Joe had a lawsuit with the National Football League after he left the Patriots over signing the standard player contract. Now he won on summary judgment, but he was not awarded any damages because the court determined that he had already made the decision to move on and start his movie career. So they said he wasn't damaged. But if you go back and look at that case, some of the reasoning in that case for him winning ended up getting folded into the John Mackey case and the Kurt Flood case when we started to move towards free agency. So one thing that gets lost in the shuffle, and I really do hope that Joe and JJ, and they've been working feverishly, working on getting his autobiography put together. I do hope that we are able to get it together, because part of what we're going to talk about is this piece of his life that not a whole lot of people have any recollection of, which is this fight with the NFL that really did pave the way for free agency. Now, you take a guy like Tommy Kramer, who, another client of mine, and Tommy and I've talked about it, and Tommy said the sad thing is that most players today don't remember a thing about what Joe did, he benefited what they have today in large part came about because of his basically landing on the grenade on his career.
Well, and Mackey's the guy you hear about mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. But some of the reasoning from that case was originally in the cap case. It just, he didn't win any damages, so it wasn't as significant.
It's not like he had this incredible, movie career either. I mean, he wasn't the longest yard. He was the walking boss, or one of them.
But he
did a lot of TV series where he had small, one show or one episode roles.
Yep.
And I didn't realize he was a football player in the movie MASH, but it's uncredited.
Hmm. Yeah, with longest yard, he actually was the de facto coach on set. In between drinking beer with Ray Nitschke, he was the one that was coaching up the actors in terms of what they were doing on, when they were playing. So, I mean, it's funny, he wears number 11 in there. He wore 22 at Cal and in Canada. And, of course, Burt Reynolds, of course, has 22.
Yeah.
And Joe has 11. I said, how did you end up with that? He goes, because Reynolds was the star, and he wore 22 at Florida State, so I got bumped, so I had to take 11.
He took half the number. That's funny. Thank you again, Jeff, for setting it up with Joe Capp. Sam, let's take a quick break, and we'll go to Ruth Lorden, get her vibe of the day. We'll be right back with that. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before, many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. SmartStart MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a SmartStart Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The SmartStart Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a SmartStart system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. SmartStart now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. SmartStart has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. SmartStart has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and SmartStart representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at SmartStart know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. SmartStart is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to SmartStartMN.com. That's SmartStartMN.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
Something happening.
We are back. Business and Leisure Attorney Jeff O'Brien. Thanks again to Joe Capp for joining us. We are joined by Ruth Lorden. RuthLorden.LORDAN.com at Psychic Ruth. Ruth, how the heck are you?
I'm great. I love that music, Buffalo Springfield. That's from the real stuff. That's from the real days.
I couldn't even tell you who that was until you
That's
mentioned
Buffalo
it.
Buffalo Springfield.
See,
That's the original of Stephen Stills and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And they were a symbol of the movement, as they say.
Growing up, when I did not have a radio in my car for my first three formative years as driving, so I didn't hear a lot of music then. But
well, you're 10 years younger, too.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that sort of thing. Now, tell me what's going on in the. Do you have any psychic vibes about anyone or anything? Anything? There a poll came out where Trump had a 70% unfavorable rating, and
that's
Hillary's was 55.
That's all. I mean, it's all a bunch of bullshit. Those polls, as you've seen, the exit polls, they don't work. That would be okay. So, what if I stand outside of Outback Steakhouse and poll people on their favorable thoughts of being a vegetarian?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to get? Yeah. I'm going to get a bunch of people that say no because I'm at a steakhouse. So they're doing the exit polls, they're doing these polls. For all you know, they're standing outside of Urban Bean.
Yeah. Well, okay, so right now, who do you see being president in January? Who's going to be on those steps?
When I tune in deeply, they're still rigging the votes.
What does that
mean? Still on. It's like the whole mess in California where they didn't allow Bernie Sanders votes. It's a fixed election.
Yeah, but you know what? Trump won't win California, so that one's out of play. I mean,
but in terms of Hillary, everybody thinks it's going to be Hillary, but I'm seeing Trump. I mean, you know, people are sick of Obama. He putting his foot in his mouth for everybody but the fans of Farrakhan with what he did with the way he's handling the situation in Orlando. He's going to bring people that don't vote out to vote, and they're going to vote Trump.
Well,
we have a revolution. We have the anti-establishment.
One thing that's interesting, and Trump said this, and then I saw the speech, and it's difficult to argue a great deal with him, is that after what happened in Orlando, the president spent more time bitching about and attacking Trump than he did staying on topic, which was a terrorist shooter.
Or calling the Florida governor, who said if the president would get involved, their emergency financing, their emergency project would get going.
That's why, because some people say, what's the big deal he didn't call? Well, it is a big deal, because the president could cut through a lot of red tape and get things and get funding and get money.
But remember, he didn't go to Justice Scalia's funeral, but he went to Muhammad Ali's.
Well, Ali was a big deal. You know, it's only a Supreme Court justice. It's not a big deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not a big deal. You know, it's only a Supreme Court justice.
Exactly.
And, well, anyway, give us your vibe of the day.
Getting real, deep, serious, productive, and having fun all the while. That's today, and the vibe continues with our activities today, tonight, and up to the weekend.
Sounds like a good one to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why we're having fun with this. We're all seeing it very clearly, and God is good. It's going to work out.
I'm encouraged to hear that. Ruth, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ruth Lorden, ruthlorden.com, at Psychic. Oh, excuse me, at Psychic Ruth. You are at the Medina
tonight. I'm at the Medina tonight, and we're going to have a lot of fun because I know some of the people that are coming in. It is going to be a great night.
And also, the weather's not great, so it's a good time to go and get a reading.
And the bartender that's there tonight actually pours drinks and a half. So it's fun.
What
do you mean? Well, different people, you know, the Medina is not one of these bars where it's a measured pour. You know, you're going to get your money's worth and then some tonight.
No, the Wednesday night's the night to get your money's worth at the Medina. All nights, we'll say. All right, Ruth, thanks so much. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you again to Jeff O'Brien, Business and Leisure Attorney, who set up the interview that we had with Joe Capp, which was a lot of fun and very entertaining. So thank you for that, Jeff. And thanks to Sam. Sam, how you doing, Sam? It's a matter. You look sad, Sam. Sad Sam.
I just don't like that voice.
I'm so sorry. All right. God, she hates me. My daughter hates me. That's all right. I got a 7-year-old daughter who doesn't hate me, but there's daytime she's not crazy about me. Although she's shown me all the videos she's done.
Aren't they cute?
All the little... My daughter, my 7-year-old, writes and choreographs her own music. And then she videotapes herself, but she won't let her mother, because I wouldn't know how probably, to put it on Facebook. It'd be very cute. I think she'd be a YouTube sensation if she'd let us post it.
My 9-year-old, or almost 9-year-old godson, is he says his career is going to be as a music composer. So
perhaps we should hook the two of them up.
I think we might have to arrange something, yes.
It could be the start of something wonderful.
Apparently he sets up with sheet music, a piano, an organ, and
really?
A keyboard. Yes.
Seriously, at 9?
Yeah, almost 9. It'll be 9 at the end of next month.
That's actually impressive.
Mm-hmm.
All my daughter does is write, sing, and video and choreograph.
It might be a
perfect melding.
Yep.
We'll have to get them both in here at the same time and see what they can put together. All right, thanks, Jeff, and we'll thank you for everyone listening, and we'll talk to you later. I just got to tell you.